with you and turn to Luke chapter 16, and we will be looking at verses 19 through 31. The title of our time together this morning is A Message from Hell. A Message from Hell. The Bible tells us that of this man who died. And we'll read the story in just a moment, but he wanted Lazarus to go and tell his five brothers at his daddy's house about the place that he was in. To testify to them about the goodness of God and His tender mercies and the ability to forgive sin. But he would not permit it. He said that your brothers, like everybody else, have got Moses and the prophets. If them five boys and everybody else won't hear them, then it won't help them. Because God has ordained a plan. It's called the gospel. And He said, if they won't be willing to listen to Moses and the prophets, a dead man walking will not persuade them to do any different. Today, in the presence of God, and only by His help, see, there are probably somewhere in our family tree, somewhere along the lines, perhaps we have someone who has died and gone to hell. And only if they had the opportunity to speak to you today, but they cannot have. But Abraham made it very clear to us that it is Moses and the prophets, or in today's time, the preachers of the Word of God. If man and woman, boy and girl of the age of accountability will not hear them through God's divine plan to be saved instead of damned, they will never be changed by any other thing. And this morning, with God as my helper and this vessel of clay at His disposal, I am going to preach the message that that man would have preached to his lost brothers. This morning, look with me at the Word of God, Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into the Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Father, this morning I am grateful for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray today that you will bless it and make the best of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning, a message from hell. I need for you this morning to give me your undivided attention. Maybe as if you've never given it to me before. Some of you are here for the very first time. Welcome. You are family today. But today, this is not my church. This is not the members of this church, their church. This is God's church. And this morning, we come in the presence of God on this day because this is the Christian Sabbath. But this morning, this message that burns inside of my soul, I want it to become a part of yours as well. This morning, a message from hell. As if I am one. Now take note of this for a moment so I don't confuse you early on. I have the benefit, as well as you, to read and understand what this case is going on with this rich man who is given no name. Lazarus is name, but this rich man carries no name. So when I make reference to him, I will be referring to the rich man. We have the privilege and are in the day, in the blessed day of the Lord, that we have an opportunity to read this story. That is not a parable. He did not use names in parables. This really happened and is still ongoing today. And I want to share with you what he has shared with us in his comment from hell. There's many characteristics and adjectives that we could use with hell extracted from other references in this word. But today I make reference to Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, and nothing more. This morning, I want to look at his condition of his soul. Interesting facts you want to lend attention to this morning. Would you agree this morning that every one of us have a body of clay? Say amen. Some of you are convinced. Now, how many of you believe that inside that body of clay there is an actual living soul? Amen. How many of you believe that there is a God? Say amen. How many of you believe in heaven? Say amen. How many of you want to go to heaven? Say amen. How many of you believe there's a heaven, that there is a literal hell? Say amen. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. If there is a heaven and if there is a God, there is a hell, and there is an alternative to this place called hell. This man wanted to preach. Could you imagine how a man would preach the Word of God being in the fiery pits of hell and come stand before you? Could you imagine? This morning, I want you to look at the characteristics of his soul. Look with me. If he were preaching to his brothers, which he were not allowed to do, which means I'm not allowed to do. I cannot represent that man in hell this morning because Abraham said that is not the way to persuade me. I have to preach in the place of Moses and the prophets. Though I don't prophesy what is to come because everything has been prophesied in what's to come. Now it is not all fulfilled yet, but I am a preacher of the gospel. So I can preach this message to those who are bound for hell. God has given me that liberty. Though I've never been there, I believe it exists because I believe the Word of God. I cannot dissect it. But all that being said, let's dive in, will we? Now, he says, look with me. We're in chapter 16 in Luke. Look with me now, if you will. Turn the page and you look at verse 23 to begin with. The Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. The condition that he would give to us would be this. My soul, his soul has eyes in hell. He is able to see with his soul. I believe that we have a theory of the soul, and it is some round or maybe some odd-shaped, foggy vessel. But I am of the opinion that it is like when you see maybe in the movies or something where you see this soul or this image of someone separated from their body. This man had eyes to be able to see because it says that the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. Number one, he has the eyes to be able to see what is going on. Not only that, but it says in verse 23 that he had knowledge because it says that he seeth Abraham. He knew who Father Abraham was. He lived in that day, in the day of Moses and the prophets. That was the day in which he lived. He was very familiar with Father Abraham. He knew him. He had a knowledge. The soul has a knowledge even in eternity. Departed souls have this capability. Whether you're departed unto salvation or departed into damnation, you have this ability, your soul. It also says that he, in verse 24, he cried. The soul has the ability to cry. Verse 24, it goes on and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He would have us to know today that the soul begs for mercy. Not only does he want us to know today that his soul in hell has eyes to see, but it also has a mind to think. Has the knowledge of Father Abraham, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom, and he named him because he knew him. And in verse 24, it goes on. And he says here, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He would have us to know today that the soul has an appetite. Thirsty. Verse 25, he would have us know today that, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. The soul has a memory. He didn't tell him to just think back a week ago or think back to your 30th birthday. He said, thinkest, remember, he says, in thy lifetime. And can you imagine from hell that his life goes into rewind? And his whole life, from the time he took his first steps, all that he did in his life, it is flashing before him. Everyone who tried to minister to him, maybe any sermon he had ever heard preached, or anyone who had ever came and testified to him like he wanted his beggar to do to his brothers. It all flashed before him. And he saw it. He could hear their voices. He could see them pleading with him to do what's right. But he would not give in. The souls have a memory. He would have us to know that today. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them that they also come into this place of torment. His soul has compassion and concern for other lost souls. In hell today, I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just trying to aware you that his concern, do you notice this? Do you notice when you back up in Scripture that what he has said is, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me in verse 24, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now watch this. That was his, that's what he wanted more than anything. He wanted just a drop of water on his tongue. Nothing else. That's what he was talking to Father Abraham. I just want one drop of water. And when Father Abraham explains to him in verse 25, he says, But Abraham, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And he's explaining to this lost soul who did not get it straight on earth, but had to wait till he got to hell and be put in a position that he would listen. And when he listens, and when he truly takes a moment to listen to God's man, verse 26 says, And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from this. Now look at this. Hold the press. All he wanted was one drop of water. But when he was in a position to listen to God's man, and when it was explained to him in layman terms what was going on, he said, I cannot come to you, and you cannot come to me, that there is a great gulf fixed between us. We can no longer meet. And the reality sunk in as he reflected on his lifetime, the opportunities that was given to him, the blessings, and he reflected on that. And he said, Now I see it now. And he changes his agenda. Where he wanted a drop of water before Abraham spake, he changes now in verse 27. Will you look there with me? Then he said, after that, the Bible says, and then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wilt sendest him to my father's house. Woo! Look at that! He said, Send Lazarus to me. I'm thirsty. He was still thinking in the carnal mind that we are supposed to have everything catered and brought to us. The pleasures of this world. Make sure that I'm okay. When he says, Listen, Abraham, or listen, rich man. It ain't going to happen. We can't. There's a gulf. And you had a chance, and just that quick, in his mind and everything rewinding, just going right back, he saw his five brothers lost and perhaps even following in his footsteps. And aren't we there today? Following in other people's footsteps because your daddy done it that way. Because your mama done it that way. Well, let me tell you what. I want to do it God's way. In spite of how much I love Him. And I will tell you today, friend, He changed His agenda because Abraham changed his mind. But it took him to be in the torments of hell before he would give in. And he says, Father Abraham, don't bring Lazarus to me with a drop of water, but send him to my brothers. Because now I see. And that request was denied as well. It's amazing to me, and I find it this week awful overwhelming, that this soul has those kind of characteristics. Because you know that the rich man was buried. That means, listen, angels take your soul to eternity. Man carries your body to the grave. Man, six men, tote you to the ground. His body is still in the ground. The Bible says that he was buried. And imagine Lazarus. It doesn't talk about his burial. It just talks about the angels coming and carrying him to Abraham and to his bosom. But basically what happened to him, now his body was still buried, but nobody talks about his burial because he was poor, because he was sick. He didn't count. He didn't matter. The reason he was in that condition in that society is because he had sinned and done something wrong. He deserved what he had, they said. So basically, they just dug a little hole and run his body right into it, covered it up, maybe said a few words, and they were gone. But can I tell you today, it did not have a bearing on where his soul was going. That the rich man, you know they stood over his body. And they had the finest casket and the finest arrangement, and they just spent all this money whether they had it or not, because she or he would want it that way. And truth be known, if you could talk to them, they say, I just don't care. Listen, it has no bearing on eternity where they are. And the rich man would have us to know today that they spent a lot of money and they probably made him sound like he was in heaven, but he was in the floor of hell. In spite of the money or the words that were said, it has no bearing on your eternity. And I believe sometimes we really do believe it does. We'll sell our houses to buy some fine casket. Let me tell you what to do. Just drop me in a hole. And don't tell nobody where I'm at. Bury me in my yard. You guys, not legal, is it? Hey, listen. It has no bearing on where you're going. But here's the point. Their bodies were still in earth, buried in some place or another. But their souls were in eternity. Two departed souls. One went to heaven, one went to hell. And we are going to take one or the other. And I just hope before God that this message that this man would have us here today, you don't have to realize it when you're sitting right beside him and he's able to tell you. You'd much rather hear it from me secondhand than him firsthand. This is the time you want secondhand information. And now I see where he not only wanted them to know the conditions of their soul and not only the conditions of their burial, but he says, I want you to reflect for a minute in your own life. Look with me now in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father, look at the wording. We always watch the Word of God. Pay attention to this now. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But watch what Abraham said. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things. Stop there for a moment. Not only did he have to reflect before he would remember those opportunities that God gave him, but he had to remember before he could see God's blessings. He was a man who was blessed. Do you agree today in this sanctuary that all things that you have are given of God? It is God's blessing. But he made a grave out of God's blessings. He buried them. He kept them for himself. He didn't care about the church. He didn't care about God's kingdom. He cared about him. So therefore, it made him a literal grave of God's blessings. They were buried in Him. And they were given in order to multiply and disperse, not to keep for pleasure. But He's reflecting. And can you imagine as He's sitting there and He's in hell and He has compassion and now He sees and He has a different understanding than He ever had before. And can you imagine this rich man? And one thing that was big in that day, like a lot of us have things that we do today that's big for us. And maybe one of our ways of entertainment is we have a DVR and we can go in and we can record a movie when we're gone. And when we get home and we get settled and it's kind of later at night and the kids are in bed and all that kind of stuff. And man, you done been guaranteed you're going to be on the couch at night. And you get over there and when you do, you hit that button and you watch that ball game. Or you watch that Western. Amen. Well, see, this rich man in that day didn't have this kind of entertainment. But one big thing of entertainment in that day, if you had the money, people would come in, they would just play harps and play music for you. It was soothing. It was entertaining. And Abraham told him, he said, remember that in your day, you had good things, and can you remember that those nights that you heard music playing? And now he hears. Let me go carry you somewhere in attention. Look with me, if you will, in verse 23. And in hell he lifts up his eyes. And watch this. Being in torment. So let me tell you what just happened. He just, the moment you die, boom, just like that. You're either in heaven or hell. Boom, just like that. But let me tell you what happened. He lifts his eyes and just immediately he's there in heaven, in hell. And look what happens. He says, being in torments. Let me tell you what he was in. It's not, you don't be in torments. Plural. You're in torment. That can mean many things. But in the torments was that he was surrounded by other people who were in agony and were moaning and groaning. He was in the midst of torments. That doesn't apply to him. Because he goes on to say, as the time goes on, he expresses it to Abraham. He said, I am tormented by this flame. He was not being tormented. He was in the midst of tormented people. And now where he had traded the music in his pleasures and fared sumptuously every day, he now has traded his music for moaning. He was in the midst of torment. That's real. And who would want to go there? He would stand before you today and say, listen, you don't want to do that. See it now. You don't want to trade that for what I've got. Can you imagine the meals that he had and the wine that he drank around his table? And oh, how he wished he could have a drop of something upon his tongue. He wanted him to see that he had been given every opportunity. But now I want you to look at the last part of this verse in verse 25. He said, in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, but watch this. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. And watch this, just like this one. Boom! He sees Lazarus. He knew him, right? He called him by name. He knew him, right? He could see himself walking into the gate of his palace. And the Bible doesn't declare who laid him at the gate. But it says that hands laid him at the gate of the rich man. And he said, likewise, as Father Abraham is speaking, and he has the mind to understand, he sees Lazarus at his gate, pleading and testifying. Why would he want Lazarus to go and testify to his brothers? Because he knew he had the ability because he had already testified to him. He said, have him go and testify. And he could remember, likewise, Lazarus was discomforted because you would not even give him one crumb from your table and you want him to bring you one drop from heaven. He said, no, sir. You want one drop and you wouldn't give him one crumb? You mean to tell me that the dogs in your kennel lick his sores and you wouldn't give him a crumb? Your dogs eat better than him. But Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And Abraham told him, as much as we would want to come to you, we cannot. Your days of mercy are over. Well, as rich man, we can apply that to us. We probably got to know some people who would spend more money in their dog kennels than they would somebody poor and hungry. But this rich man wasn't no exception. Where you think the dogs come from? They were his dog. Laid at his gate. But he thought more of a dog than he did someone who was trying to preach the gospel, testify, who was poor and in need. He didn't even realize it, but that was Jesus. Jesus counts that as one of us. He says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in a time of need, you came to me. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not as they do unto you. You treat evil with good. You don't treat evil with evil. And lastly, not only does our soul have surprising characteristics, not only will every opportunity that you had in your life to make it right and have peace with God will be rewinded and displayed in front of you. And you know, it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing because, see, my voice is going to be heard in hell. Because I've talked to people about getting right with God. Some of them I hope will, but I know some of them won't. And they're going to see me. And they're going to hear me forever. I believe what aggravated this man and what he would have us to know today in our last point is this. He had concern and compassion for his brothers. He did not want them to come to that place. One of the reasons I have to believe is this. He was responsible in some part of their destiny. Daddies and mamas, can I make you aware of something that you may not know? Or that you give very little thought to. Your kids watch the way you walk and the way you talk and the way you handle adversity. They watch your temper. They watch if you raise your voice. They watch if you change your vocabulary. They watch if you sling things around or if you get in a car and drive like a hooligan or a maniac. They watch the way when you leave a conversation in the car, if you're talking about the person you just left. They watch you whether or not church and God and this whole concept of heaven is important. Not by what you say, but by the way you live your life. And I will tell you today that this man would have us to know that he's laying in hell and his concern is for their soul, but he does not want his agony to be aggravated and revived by his brothers laying next to him because of the way he may have led his life. And he knows that he would be to blame for their appearing in hell forever. Because he showed them how to swindle people out of money. He showed them how to beat the system. How to cheat people. How to live dishonestly. How to make up the rules as you go. And how to live a life of pleasure for nothing more than yourself. And he wanted to let them know not just about hell, but by the way he lived his life was not an example. And to do differently lest they become where he's at. Oh, what a responsibility that we have. And we will have to live with it forever. It's amazing to me how in verse 25, after all of this conversation, but Abraham said, "Son." Listen to that one thing. He called him son. You know, Father Abraham is our father. We're the seed of Abraham. We are sons and daughters of Father Abraham by faith. And that he called him son. He didn't call him the rich man. He called him son. And just for a moment in this tender compassion from hell and from Abraham's bosom, look what happens to the rich man. He goes on to say in verse 27, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore," watch this, "Father." He had been addressing him as Father Abraham. It was personal. See, in his time of reflection to his lifetime, he saw the opportunities that he had to make peace with God. And for one compassionate moment, Abraham said, "Son, this is what could have been." And him wanting so bad from the depths of hell to be able to say, "Father, send Lazarus to my brother and let him testify." I am telling you, there are more things going on around us than we are aware of. There is another life. This is not it. And for Christians, you should be shouting hallelujah. This is not it. But this time in which we live in, he's trying to express, this will determine your eternity. Whether or not you are on the road that is broad, and on the way to destruction. And he was. But he kept the course in spite of the testifying of Lazarus at his death. Or perhaps this morning, you are on the road this narrow. And straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. You know what aggravated him so bad? Not only that he was being tormented by that flame and that he was thirsty and that he could see Abraham. He's seen that beggar who had to be laid at a gate standing beside Abraham. And it aggravated him so bad that that could have been him. Not just the torments of hell, but the thought that, listen, I didn't have to go here. I didn't have to do this because of Jesus Christ. So, I know the Word of God. And you know what he would have done that day if he would have went to those five brothers? He would have offended them. But the Word of God is to be offensive. Because the Word of God declares a different life than what you are living. And you don't like that. Nor did I. But once God got a hold of my heart, and the Word of God was my way out of hell and a way into joy and splendor. You've done some crazy things in your life. Let me tell you one that you may think is crazy and is not. Trust Jesus with all your heart. And there's not a one of you in here this morning who would raise your hand and say, Preacher Mac, I want to go to hell. But remember, it's not what you say. It's how you live your life. This man realized when Abraham told him, he said, I'm not getting out. See, we know that that hell will empty itself in the great judgment. Those will be called out of hell for the judgment. That's, they have to appear before God. So there is a time when everyone who's in hell and who's going to hell they'll leave hell in order to be judged. But then the Bible says in Revelation 20 that they will then, after being judged, be cast into the lake of fire. For that is the second death. That second death ain't happened yet. All those who are in hell have not been judged. So therefore, they cannot be cast into the lake of fire. They are being held against their will, tormented by the flame, and suffering the abandonment of God Himself. Because there's a gulf between them and I, somewhere have probably crossed paths without a shadow of a doubt, who men and women who now dwell there and who can hear this story firsthand. Because the moment you get there and lift your eyes in hell, you are in the midst of the torment. Plural. But you don't have to go. I got good news for you. You don't have to go. Listen, if you were born into this life by a woman, you're on your way to hell unless you've ever asked Jesus into your heart. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad to know that I have been bought and I've been born again by the blood of the Lamb. And today I'm thankful for that. But I will tell you this morning. We're fixing to go down to the river and we're fixing to have 9 or 10 or ever how many get baptized. Amen? And the water's going to be cold. And it's going to be worth it. But let me tell you what. If you're here today and you got any sin or anything that separates you from God, if you got doubt in your mind that you're saved, truth is you're not. Because the Bible's very clear that a man knows whether or not he's saved. You got doubt, you probably do it without. You need to make it right with God. Is this a risk you're willing to take? Are you willing to hear this message over and over and over? Listen, one time's enough, amen. Are you willing to hear this over and over and over in an eternal damnation? No. So you know your heart and you know your relationship with God like no one else knows. I would have you this morning as we stand together. and your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to give you an opportunity this morning of a lifetime. I tell you what I'm going to do. I've never done this before, but I'm going to close this altar off to only those who need forgiveness of their sin. This morning, this is about sin and salvation. This morning, if you've sinned against God and you need forgiveness, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, you need forgiveness. All you have to do is ask. This morning, you're here and you've never been saved. You have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your personal Lord and Savior. You need to. We'll meet you here. This morning, you've never been baptized before. I got good news for you. We're going to the river just as soon as I shut up. And just because you didn't bring no clothes with you this morning don't mean you can't go down to the river and get baptized yourself. You say the thief didn't do it on the cross. He was nailed. The Bible declares that we should follow up in baptism because it displays our obedience and it also displays that we are willing to tell the world that we have been bought with a price. And this morning, if God has dealt with your heart, I want you to come right now. Who will be first? Amen. This morning, you've got sin in your life, and you want the blood of the Lamb to remove them. This morning. Come on, friend. Your first time here. This is a good thing. I want you to come down from where you are. Step out. The stage has been set. He's calling you by name. You've been coming here a long time. Listen, you carry a position in this church, but you've got sin in your life. Won't you come? Right now. You feel Him tugging at your heart? Come right now. We got people who are ready to pray with you and help you. Come on. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Brother Charles, you pray with this man. This friend, you pray with this man. Listen, all the workers, we're asking them if there's sin in their life. This is not a time to rush God, but we want to know whatever that sin may be. You let them know that God will forgive them. He has bought them with a price. And He is willing to claim that which He has died for. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, friend. You feeling moving? Pause for just a moment. Those are praying here at the altar. Listen, this is one of those times that I just cannot go just this moment What I want you to do is just bow your head with me. Christian, listen to me. You remember the moment you got saved? Listen, do you remember how glorious it was? Do you know that people are getting saved in this service this morning? Hey, listen, you're praying for them. And listen, people, listen, you be here this morning, you got sin in your life. Listen, I love you because He loved you. And this morning, I want the angels in heaven to rejoice over you as well. So what I need for you to do, I can't make you do it. But all I can do is give you one more verse of invitation. Listen, you've sinned against God and against His nature. That makes us wrong and that makes Him right. But there is nothing better because He came to seek and save the lost. This morning, I want to give you, this is for you. Step out from where you are and you come before God. You get it right now because you can't get it right then. Will you come? I'm begging you. Come. One more verse. Christians, you know this song, don't you? Sing it. Bow your heads with me in reverence of those who are praying. Pray with me, church. Pray that these people who have come will make a difference for God. Not just that on this day people came to an altar. Not just a day where people came and confessed their sins. But a day that they were truly converted by the power of God in their life. And because of that, they change who they are. The Bible says that we're a new creature in Christ, that we go forward, that we have been set free as captives because of Jesus. And we live a life of freedom and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, church. Our Father, we are so thankful and grateful this morning. Lord, as all the saints are praying, and all those who have come to know You this morning as their personal Lord and Savior, those who have came and rededicated their lives, and God, You were faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And Lord, we're so undeserving and so unworthy, but God, You love us. And this morning, oh God, I thank You for those who have taking advantage of this opportunity because You've told us today is the day of salvation and not tomorrow. Lord, You came in order to seek and save the lost. And this morning, God, Lord, the one has been put back on Your shoulders and carried back to the fold. And God, for that, we are thankful and grateful and we praise Your name. And Lord, we rejoice even in this time. And Lord, I pray for our safety as we as a church go over to our place of baptism. God, would You be with us there? Lord, would You meet with us there in those waters, oh God, that we would just experience the sacredness of this baptism and know that You Yourself, Lord Jesus, was baptized. And who are we not to be baptized? Father, thank You for the opportunity. Thank You that You have spared us another day. And You have now made reconciliation for those who have come between the wrath of God and the sin of man. Because of You, we are saved. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.